support this bill the way it is written. We would like to see a little flexibility in that 200-yard distance, though. You know, a duck 100 yards isn't exactly 36 inches. Well, if that was, say, approximately 200 yards or something like that, we'd hate to measure it out and only be 199, you know. But otherwise, the bill, we support the bill.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Zagar. Why don't we see if there are any questions? Representative Kopetsky.
Mr. Chair, Representative Miller, we had a bill earlier today. I don't know if you were able to catch the hearing on that, but it would exempt the local jurisdictions from enacting certain handgun and gun control ordinances. And I was just wondering if perhaps we could use this as a vehicle to adopt, you know, like you've done here in quite admirable manner, a specific area, but some statewide standards for other areas where we want some statewide laws relating to guns, since hopefully this committee will vote to not allow local jurisdictions that opportunity any longer.
Well, Representative Kopetsky, I would suggest that other bill can stand or fall on its own merits, and this one should probably be allowed to travel under its own speed.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay, I think when this was last before the subcommittee, last session, I was thinking of modifying the 200 yards. I seem to recall, test my Representative Miller, you may recall this as well. One of the incidents occurred, I believe, in Clackamas County, on the east side of the river, near a schoolyard, in which a game animal, I believe, not exactly Bambi, but pretty close to it, was shot down literally within visible sight of a schoolyard in which there were school children at the time, which I think adds further support not only to the Tualatin River situation, but the inclusion of schools, place worship, etc., other public places where discharge of firearms should not be permitted.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your recalling that example, and that's why it would be, again, useful unless the committee would wish to take action sooner than other witnesses can be here. They would supply those kinds of examples.
Okay, are there any further questions?
Well, actually, Mr. Chair, I do have another question.
Okay. Mr. Nichols wanted to comment further, and then we'll take your question. Mr. Nichols?
Yes, I believe the Bambi butchering incident would have been covered within this 200-yard area.
Okay. Representative Kopetsky?
Well, if I own a cabin up in the mountains in a hunting area, and Representative Miller, you decide to go up deer hunting for Bambi in my neck of the woods, and you know my cabin's there, and you're on this 4-point buck 100 yards from my cabin, can you shoot that buck or not? And you're legitimately out there hunting and right time of season, right weapon, etc.
Am I a guest of yours?
No, it's not my property.
It's your cabin, but it's not your property.
You're not. You nor the animal are on my property. But you're within 200 yards of my cabin, my dwelling.
I would suggest that I better withhold my desire to fire. If I understand that I'm within 200 yards of your cabin.
And you're not on my property, though.
That's correct. However, if you were in plain view on the porch...
Mr. Nichols, you still don't have any problem with that particular provision of the bill?
Not really.
Okay.
I think 200 yards is reasonable.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay, that's it for those who signed up to testify. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on 2711?
Just a question.
Representative Phillips.
Work session on this bill so we could do something with it?
Well, technically, no. We could always amend this into 2338, however, I'm not sure. The desire is answered.
So we should wait for it to come up again.
Well, I suppose that I hate to establish any precedents, and Chief Clerk's office has sort of advised us that if we're in public hearing, and that's the only way the bill's been listed, we probably ought not to move into work session. So it's probably necessary to bring it back for work session if the subcommittee is so inclined. Let's hold that thought and move on to a couple other bills and see if we can make some progress on those. And if there's a motion to suspend the committee rules, we might entertain such a motion.
I didn't know if we had to be in work session to kick it up to full committee, so.
I think we do.
Okay.
Let's go ahead to the next bill on our printed agenda for this evening's work session, 2384, of which we heard amendments this morning, this afternoon. Representative Phillips, I know you've spent a considerable amount of time on these amendments. We have, I think, the Rohan and Gross version, 2384.
Frank's here now, too.
Okay. And we also, I think we may have some LC amendments.
Well, the LC amendments incorporate...
Now, the two are not identical.
That's correct. The LC amendments incorporate some of the suggestions that were made by the DAs who hand-engrossed and others who had a hand in hand-engrossing.
Let's identify these two things first. We've got the hand-engrossed version. Who are those and when were they prepared?
The hand-engrossed words that we've got are some of mine and some of Frank's and some by the District Attorneys Association. After we did that, it was felt to incorporate everybody's suggestion, including those of the ACLU and others, that we should Frank went through it and cleaned up everything that we addressed, and that's why I think it'd be best to work off 2384-1.
Okay.
That's it.
That's fine. We've got the LC amendments. They're 2384-1, and they bear the date March 21st, 85.
To this bill, we discussed it earlier. There are only a couple of things that I think we should add to this. One was the issue of centrifugal force to the definition of the switchblade, which I brought up. Another one, which I did not bring up, is on page 2 of the bill. It was a suggestion by both the NRA and the Sheriff's Association, specifically Bill Brooks, on line 19, that it says A possesses or has in possession a machine gun, and Bill suggested the wording not registered under the Federal Firearms Act, which would make it.
Okay, page 2, line 19, the additional language you're suggesting is?
At the end of the line, it ends up machine gun, but it not registered under the Federal Firearms Act. Now, we have had suggestions of further amendments dealing with that Federal Firearms Act. However, I'd rather deal with this at this point and work on those other amendments if perhaps before full committee and have the proponent come and explain why he would feel that they're worthwhile. But just putting in the language not registered under the Federal Firearms Act addresses the immediate concerns, as I understand them.
Okay.
So,
again, and then as I mentioned in my testimony on page 3 of the bill, line 8, after residents, I would like to also include recreational vehicle or vessel.
Okay.
That obviously covers the camper and the boater and the fish.
Yeah, I think we can probably deal with this conceptually. I'm just want to make sure we have a definition, or if we need a definition for recreational vehicle or vessel. And if recreational vehicle would include a pickup truck, if that's your intent, or...
Well, no, a pickup truck is already covered under the statute, which as it would be a vehicle, but what I was thinking of are the bigger mobile home type travel trailers and pole trailers, campers. Vessels are obviously either a houseboat or a small boat, including those that shot within 200 yards of Representative Miller's district.
Okay. Do we need any definitions, additional definitions for either of those terms?
I honestly don't know, but I could. I mean, that's my intent, kind of.
Conceptual amendment.
And I can look and see if you need to. If we need to define recreational vehicle or vessel.
Okay, we'll include that language as you're accepting as a friendly amendment to your amendment, I assume.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, did you understand what I meant by the adding after the, whatever time we talk about, the two times we talk about the switchblade, adding, and so just turn to page 4 on the bill so you, if you can look at it. It says, top of the line projects or swings into position by a force of a spring, and then as I mentioned earlier in my testimony, or by centrifugal force and commonly known as a switchblade. And there's two places that we refer to the switchblade. That one, and I believe on the front page is the other. No, it'd be on the second page.
Okay, right at the top.
Right at the top on after spring or by centrifugal force. And those are the only other amendments or suggestions. And you will recall that Representative Kopetsky suggested that we delete on line 2 of page 2 an ice pick, those three words. And maybe we might want to ask Frank if and insert the word or in that same line. Frank, did you hear Representative Kopetsky's suggestion, line 2, page 2, the words, he questioned why we had an ice pick in there and suggested perhaps we could delete that.
The reason it's in there, I believe, is because we banned our wanted it in there.
Okay. Okay. Again, that's a concealed weapons issue again, concealing an ice pick. I can't honestly tell you why he put it in there, so I have to leave that up to the committee for their judgment.
Okay. Rep. St. Peterson.
I guess along that same line, you know, why do we have slung shot in there? And if the idea is not to designate these particular items, I guess I'm curious as to why we're leaving them in at all. I don't know what the rationale is.
Frank, if you have any stuff you'd like to come on up.
Frank Gruber from Legislative Council's office. The list of specific instruments by the use of which injury could be inflicted upon the person or property of another person in this particular context seems to be useful, I suppose, only as specific illustrations of the kinds of instruments you're talking about, in that practically any instrument used in the right way could inflict injury upon a person. And obviously you want to suggest weapons that we're talking about here, or that the committee would be talking about here. Maybe to that extent, things like dirk and dagger shouldn't be taken out, but some illustrative items probably should be in there as illustrative of the type of instruments you're talking about.
Honestly, I have no real strong feelings on the ice pick or slung shot. The switchblade, I contend, is a little bit different and more specific of an item that I would like to have addressed in there. But, yeah, I represent Peterson. If you wish to take it out, I don't have any real
strong defense. It doesn't matter. It just didn't seem particularly important one way or the other.
I'll have to admit, Mr. Chair, that when I was working on this, the usefulness of having some specifics listed didn't occur to me. And I think I was thinking at that time that as long as you say any instrument by use of which injury could be inflicted, that would be sufficient. But as I say, it might be useful to have some of these specifics in there. Dirk and dagger, as far as I know, are almost synonymous.
Okay. I guess, Representative Kopetsky?
Mr. Chair, or Representative Phillips, is it your intent to remain included in this section coverage of such things as revolver, pistol, firearm?
Excuse me, in section 2 of the bill? Or?
Yes, I'm sorry. Sub 1.
No. We struck those as they are considered in the concealed weapons in general. Again, I suppose, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Frank, but you could have them for illustration purposes if you want, but clearly a concealed pistol could inflict injury.
The let me just find the right material to explain that. All right, violation of section 2, the statute discussed in section 2, is a class B misdemeanor on page 2, lines 6 and 7. What we did in working on this is currently the committee's aware that the weapon statutes weren't revised in 1971 when the criminal code was created, and they date back to about 1925. And they are, to some extent, confusing. And one of those confusions is that 166.240 and 166.250 both deal with concealed weapons, and they overlap in the area of firearms. What we did when we were working on this, these two sections, after I discussed this with Representative Phillips, I was asked to do, and structurally, I think it's good to do this, is to make one of these statutes deal with firearms and one of them deal with other things. And so 166.240, which is in section 2 of the bill, has been redrafted here to deal with concealed weapons generally, and violating that would be a class B misdemeanor. And 166.250 deals with concealed firearms in particular, and then that's a class A misdemeanor. it sorts out those two statutes. At least that's the purpose of doing that. That particular concept was pulled from an amendment proposed in 81, I believe.
Okay. Let's thank Kopetsky.
Can I ask him? Language on top of page 2. And I think that or ought to be left in there, I guess. Slung shot or any instrument by the use of which injury could be inflicted upon a person. You have to have the intent. Do you have to have the intent to conceal something that could harm somebody, and to use with the intent to harm? See what I was? Earlier today I said, well, what if I have a roll of nickels in my pocket, and then I end up getting mad at somebody and bashing him or her in the face with this roll of nickels in my fist? While it was in my pocket, I wasn't really trying to conceal it. But then when I put it to use, or bash a policeman in the face.
Well, you're talking here mainly about a statute that comes into play in the case of a weapon that hasn't been used against somebody. If the weapon has been taken out and used against somebody, you've got something more than a Class B misdemeanor involved. You've got, in all likelihood, at least a Class A assault. The case of the nickels, assuming that they're discovered in your pocket and you were intending to use them as a weapon, I guess that would be illustrative of the reason that maybe you want some specific weapons listed to indicate the kinds of instruments you're talking about.
Well, I don't want to go in circles. I don't know that we necessarily are, but we're talking, like, can try to get the categories down. I'm going to take it again from the top in 220. And this is directed to Frank and Rep. St. Phillips. We've pretty much taken out specific references to firearms or any knives or any other kind of object which we think of as a weapon or potentially used as a weapon. And the way we've put in attempt to use or carry with the intent to use or possess any dangerous or deadly weapon, that's a C felony. Is there any problem with what we're doing there in terms of a policy choice or what we're speaking to? And we're reasonably satisfied it's going to pass constitutional test. Okay. So we're talking about...
You're asking me a legal opinion, yeah.
Well, just putting it out there. We're talking about attempt to use unlawfully against another, or carrying or possessing with intent to use unlawfully, and we're throwing out all these specific references, and we're talking about any dangerous or deadly weapon. Okay, that's a C felony. Okay. We throw out the presumptive evidence thing because that's unconstitutional. And we also throw out the language in terms of a knife with a blade longer than 3.5 inches carried concealed, because that's no good anymore. Or we're trying to put concealed weapons down in another section.
Right, and the 3.5...
The 3.5 inches has been thrown out.
Well, or I don't know if it's been thrown out, but if somebody cuts your throat with a 3-inch blade, then that's a dangerous or deadly weapon. And you're talking in this section about actual use or actual intent to use as a weapon. So it becomes a jury question if, under the circumstances in which it was used or intended to be used, whether it was a deadly or dangerous weapon. I couldn't get any anyone who wanted to argue that it was necessary, Mr. Sandrock or anybody that I was consulting with. So that came out also.
Okay. Then we moved down to 66240, and now we're talking about concealed, and we're talking about the switchblade. We're taking out some specific references, but we're leaving others in. And then we add, or any instrument which could be used to inflict injury upon a person or property. And I guess, and then we deal later with concealed firearms.
Right.
I guess I'm still questioning, you know, when we talk about objects, including a switchblade, including an ice pick or a slug shot, or, again, any instrument by the use of which injury could be inflicted upon the person or property or other person, I just don't know that that's going to pass. And I think it's Representative Kopetsky's concern expressed earlier. You know, any instrument which on its face could be dangerous, may not be dangerous. I mean, I guess the switchblade, we've decided that's inherently dangerous if concealed. Is that?
Well, I believe so, yeah.
Okay. But these other objects or instruments, you know, an ice pick or a slug shot, or again, any instrument by the use of which injury could be inflicted upon the person or property of another, I don't know how you'd say those things are inherently dangerous if concealed. I don't know if a switchblade is inherently dangerous because it's concealed as opposed to being not concealed. And that's the kind of distinction that the court's going to recognize in terms of whether or not this thing is constitutional or not, given some of the earlier decisions.
That may be a policy decision, Mr. Chair. I don't think the court has necessarily given reason for any assurance that it's a constitutional question. As far as I recall from the cases, they pretty much left the door open for the legislature to make adjustments or not in the area of concealed weapons and possessing with the intent to use and use during a crime and those kinds of things. For policy reasons, you may wish to go one way or another. I guess I don't see a real constitutional danger in these kinds of things at this time. The court may end up giving some further guidance on that as the cases come up.
Mr. Chair,
I
think you can drive a truck through the language instrument by the use of which injury could be inflicted. I mean, this chair right here is a dangerous weapon.
Well, that's why I think there might be some safety. Maybe I was hasty in taking out dirk and dagger here in reliance on instrument by the use of which injury could be inflicted. That legally, maybe having dirk and dagger in there and metal knuckles serves that purpose of tending to restrict the term instrument. And that's a consideration.
Okay, well, I guess I'm just trying to figure out, what are we trying to get at? Certain kinds of non-firearm objects, when concealed, ought to be illegal to have in one's possession.
Ships. I'm trying to get at ships. You want it? Prohibit concealing ships, some kind of a ship, is that what you want to do? I mean, I'm all for this switchblade. And if there's some other line, I mean, if you want the dirk and dagger in there, I just have a problem with that broad language, any instrument by which, if you want to nail down some dagger-like and knife-like objects in the statute, that's fine with me. Paul?
Well, I guess I fall back on common sense a little more than I probably should, but there's no purpose in my mind that people carry concealed switchblades, daggers, all the other stuff that's on the street, which you can go into any police evidence room and look at. It's just incredible. And and those people that say they need to carry it for defensive purposes, I give no credence to their argument. I also, we hear a lot about the Supreme Court rulings and that. I don't think the Supreme Court has thrown out the responsibility of that we can't enforce some laws that control the social climate of those who will carry switchblades and others. Now, if we need to go back, maybe if we could take it to Frontmeyer and see if he would look at it and give some suggestions. I again could circulate it around through. Frank could take another look at it, but again, I tried to let as many people see it as possible that have given opinions on this issue before, with the exception of the courts. Be glad to give it another swing. I think, however, that Frank and I, when we discussed it,